The following presentation, Janet Voice and Video Strategy, was given by Tim Boundy and Roger Bolam of Janet in March 2013.
Hi everyone, thanks for joining us. My name is Tim Boundy. I'm Applications Development Manager for Janet on the Strategic Technologies team. Sat next to me, I think we pan the camera across a little bit, is Roger Bolam.
Hi, I'm Roger Bolam. I work in Strategic Technologies at Janet, and at the moment I'm looking after telephony.
We're going to talk about the voice and video strategy. We're going to give updates on some of the more strategic, larger projects that we're doing. So some of that will involve a bit of context, a little background to where we've got on the project so far and where we see them going in the future. With government pressures towards reducing carbon footprints, financial pressures towards saving more money, we're seeing a lot of institutions increasing their use of video conferencing and the network in general to do more collaborative actions and to avoid travel costs if possible. So voice and video strategy we see is very important in Janet. And we do get a lot of interest, and that's probably very well reflected by the fact that this is so far the most popular strategic briefing, although we've only had two. We are going to talk a little bit about the major video projects first, or the major video futures project. Then we're going to come to telephony, and after that, some of the more cutting-edge technologies, ultra-high definition, and some of the uses by the arts and humanities sector. So I'll dive straight in. We've had a video conferencing service running for 15 years now on Janet, and it's very popular. It's used by most of the institutions connected. It consists of three main elements. So just to give you a bit of background on the service before I go into how we're planning to develop it. The three main elements to the video conferencing service are the hardware and the infrastructure based on the Janet core. The online booking service, which I'm sure many of you have used, and the management center and operators in Edinburgh, who've got a great reputation. I clicked on the wrong button to change the slide. There we go. We've got about 7,500 registered video conference hardware systems registered on the service at the moment, 9,000 users, and we do about 1,500 conferences a month on average. So it's quite busy and quite popular. We see a lot of value in improving this service in quite a few different ways. The main features, which I'm sure you could guess, are to launch or book a video conference, obviously to register yourself and your systems. Once your video conference is then running, you can then manage it live, choose to record or stream. You can invite guests using our desktop client as well. So, and you can see the URL there if you want to investigate. So that's the current state of the video conferencing service. Now, Janet Video Futures is a project that we've launched some time ago now to investigate how we can improve the video conference experience, not just the interface for the booking service, which is one area, but the whole experience to make it easier, less worry-free, simpler, and give more options to people. The objectives of the Video Futures project, there's four main objectives. We want to expand the user's choice of video clients. As I'm sure you are aware, there are many different clients out there. A lot of people will use Skype at home, but then also in the office. Obviously, institutions have invested in hardware systems, so there's a lot of standards-based H323 hardware systems out there. We've also got some institutions now that are beginning to invest in more software projects like Microsoft Link, and I know that many of you will be waiting for Link 2013 to be rolled out. You've got smaller, Google Talk, I guess, is probably just as big as Skype, but other small software clients as well, standards-based or proprietary. We want to position the new Video Futures, the Janet Video Futures service, as an interoperability hub. We want to make it possible so that you don't have to worry too much about what client you're using or what client the person you want to talk to is using, whether it's a flashy Cisco telepresence room or a Skype client. It shouldn't matter. You should just be able to click on someone's name and click connect. And we really want to try and provide as much of that service as possible by positioning Janet as an interoperability hub. So that's one main feature. We'll go a little bit more into that later. The We do need to support a new business model. Janet's experiencing the same pressures of financial changes as a lot of institutions are. And we need to make sure that the video conferencing service can cover its costs. You will see more news about this in the future, but the new service will be designed to support a new business model, which will, of course, be competitive with the market. The scope and flexibility for the future as well is something we need to develop. The current booking service, that's the software interface you can use to book a video conference, was designed initially designed about 15 years ago. It's programmed in C. It's very expensive for us to develop. So we hope to develop a new system that allows us a lot more flexibility when we're developing new features, and also give us some more modern web service features that you would expect online, the ability to integrate the video service with your own web presence, the ability to view it on many devices and platforms. We also want to compete globally. By this, I mean that Janet, being the UK's NREN, there are NRENs in most of the countries, most of the developed countries in the world, a lot of which run video services. Janet's video conferencing service is probably, could be described as a world leader in this. And we want to make sure we maintain that position and also, if possible, provide a service that some other NRENs can piggyback on, either by licensing software or joining us. And as part of that, we want to make sure we're collaborating with our NRENs on international projects. So I'll go a little bit more into detail on these things now. The interoperability market, you'll probably recognize many of the names in the cloud there for different technologies, Polycom and Cisco being the main standards-based clients. The others, Skype, Lynx, Google Talk, are very popular software clients, but at the moment are mainly proprietary technology. BlueJeans and Vidtel are just two companies that are providing interoperability services to enable you to bridge between standards-based and the proprietary clients. So these are two examples here. We're not recommending or saying we're going to be using either of these in a service, but it's more of an example of the market that's out there and the options we have to add this to the Janet video conferencing service. I'm sorry, yes, I didn't define NREN before, National Research and Education Network. As part of making the service itself more flexible, or rather the web service, the interface, we need to use some more modern web design processes. This diagram here, and don't worry if you can't read the text in the tiny little bubbles, it's not really important. The important aspect is that you can see it's got a layered concept. This enables us to enter and leave the service at many different layers. So if you want to, for example, provide your own presentation layer, which might be branded for your own institution, or it might be accessible on a specific platform or device that you want to prepare something for, then this means that we may have the option to provide API layers and sophistication that would allow institutions to join the service at various options. This gives us a huge number of options for flexibility of the service. And we've yet to really design how this would happen. So this is a longer term view for just generally having a more flexible service. The layered approach and the modular layered approach means that we can then add more features much more easily than we can at the moment. And this means that we'll be able to stay up to date with technology. And it also means that we'll be able to offer the service to other people around the world. So let me carry on to the next slide. Competing globally and extending the reach of Janet, just a little bit more on that. There are actually three global bodies that we're a member of. The third one I didn't list, but I'll go into it. The Global Video Alliance is a alliance of NRENs, National Research Education Networks, around the world, who are all interested in collaborating with their video services. Their aims are to try to share information about video users and their systems, and possibly eventually share resources as well, so that everyone doesn't have to own expensive MCU hardware or interoperability services. So that's an attempt for us to share users and resources around the world, which is greatly assisted by the International NREN Network. EduConf is a Tarina project on the Géant. It's main aims are to provide, or the EduConf service, which actually launches on Tuesday next week. The EduConf service main elements will be to provide a directory for NRENs and their member institutions to register their video systems and join a European-wide directory. So there is some overlap here with the JANET service, but we are hoping that the APIs for our service and the APIs for the EduConf service will be compatible and allow us to share directories so that there'll be no duplication of names. The other part of EduConf is that they will be running a gatekeeper monitoring network, which we plan to be a strong part of. This means that the global dialing scheme, heavily used by the by video conferencing, which is E164 numbers, we will be able to monitor the health of that, and if any of the national or international gatekeepers have any problems, we'll be alerted to that immediately to avoid any problems with the GDS. I can see people adding links, so thank you, Géant. Yes, that's I don't think that's an acronym actually, it means giant, but it's the European-wide interconnect between NREMs. So, in order to deliver all this, we are starting with a software development procurement. We've already launched this, and we're about halfway through at the moment. You can see from this timetable here, we're just about to start the competitive dialogue stage with a good selection of developers who we're quite confident could deliver us a really great service. We want to improve usability, so we're looking for people, developers who've got a lot of experience in modern web systems that have very high levels of usability. We have to start development with the selected developer at the beginning of July. So that's very exciting. We're really keen to get into this. Telephony. I'm going to hand over to Roger here now. I should just say, just a reminder of what Becky said at the beginning, if you've got any questions about the video futures or anything we're going to say, put the question in the chat box and Roger and I will get to them at the end. So I'll hand over to Roger.
Thank you, Tim. And firstly, apologies from me for wearing probably the worst shirt for video possible, but I guess that's probably why I work in telephony. As we mentioned at the start, I am Roger Bollam. I work in strategic programs at JANET. And at the moment, for the last 18 months or so, I've been tasked with trying to position, understand, and deliver telephony services on JANET. I think we've been aware for a number of years now that we are an ISP, we're a private network. We're not a telco, but telephony is missing from our portfolio of products. We don't do anything in that space. And we have dabbled in the past, and I looked at the list of attendees with some fond memories of various trials and tribulations that we've been through in the past. Those include things like central unified comms, trying to cascade call managers together to share directories and all sorts of stuff to try and use JANET for telephony. But what we've been missing before is that what we don't want to do is provide an alternative service to a telephone for JANET customers, because you can get those free and have availability for quite a while now. What we need to do and what we know our customers want, as I've got a section on customer demand in a bit, is that our customers want to use JANET for their telephony communications, so for their telephone handsets, landlines on desks, hard handsets on desks, using JANET to then go and break out into the PSTN, removing the need for expensive local circuits. So what we're focused now on in this our new strategy is focusing on very much is commodity telephony on JANET. So don't pay for a separate IP connection from another telco. You don't need as many ISDN circuits if you're going to route your calls over JANET. So just use JANET for telephony. And in a way, you don't need to add clients, load things on PCs, put things on mobiles, because you're just using your handsets as is. Okay, so customer requirements gathering took place about 18 months ago. And we engaged with HEFE and some research. And unsurprisingly, the number one response to what would you like from telephony, and people essentially said that they need to, not want to, but need to pay less. So JANET has to work out a way to help people achieve that, which we've done. People want to use JANET for their telephony, perhaps not fully migrate from their traditional telephony circuits onto JANET straight away, but to use JANET for things like business continuity planning, disaster recovery, perhaps if they need to flex up and flex down with new offices. Using an IP network is much more flexible than using the ISDN circuits. People wanted to reduce the costs of their own landlines in their offices, calling their own mobiles, often on campus, often next door in a different room, in a different building. Those call costs of, you know, 7, 8, 9p, depending on what, how you've negotiated your calling plan, is a really big part of people's bills. People want a way of reducing that. And also in the mobile side of things, not spots, so lack of coverage on campus, particularly for staff, but also for students. Could the fact you don't have mobile coverage on campus for a potential student mean they choose another university or college or whatever else? Could that be a differentiator? So people want to have coverage, customers want to have coverage on their campuses. So Janet considered all of these things, which are a rather large sort of myriad of requirements covering lots and lots of different layers. And we considered a number of approaches here. We actually did seriously consider what it would take, what Janet would need to do to actually become a telco, so to become our own telecommunications provider. But we figured out from a business case point of view, regulations point of view, and really the fact that for what Janet stands for, becoming a telco, a lot of that goes away. So we decided that that wasn't a particularly good idea. Should we go and provide our customers with services via a single supplier? So go out and do a good old bog standard procurement, choose one really nice supplier, and then end up A, locked in with that supplier for 5 years, B, as soon as we produce tariffs and line rental charges, we get undercut straight away. So that wouldn't work. It wouldn't derive value for our customers. Do we look at something like a framework process? So we select a number of suppliers and those suppliers come on board and you create a mini marketplace to allow our customers to procure services from. And we decided to go with that approach, but in a more dynamic way. So because we decided we were going to offer services on Janet by a number of suppliers, we actually realized that what it would be quite important to do is to understand from the commercials whether or not they can deliver these services on Janet. So fundamentally, and the one big question was, we want to do something before Six comes along and before Quoz comes along. So we want to be able to do it on Janet now without Quoz. So deliver telephony on Janet without Quoz. We want to be able to offer direct SIP trunks on Janet to eliminate call charges between landline and mobiles as per the customer requirements, to make sure that there's possibly some not spot solutions in there. And essentially the commercials came back to us and said, from what you're proposing, a number said that they couldn't do that at the moment, but more importantly, a quite significant number said that they could. So they were able and prepared to offer services to Janet customers on Janet with the technical and business principles applied that I've talked about. We know of two suppliers at the moment that do this with Janet customers. They use SIP trunking. They are allowing our customers to use Janet for their telephony. So it wasn't surprising that those two, obviously, those two companies came along and said yes, but it was another sort of five or six quite big telcos also said, we can do this. We're aware that the market's emerging, things are changing. We're on board, we're in. So Janet now, as a result of this, is moving forward with something called a dynamic purchasing system. And what this purchasing system will allow our customers to do is buy from up to about 15 suppliers, all of which, if you look at this slide that's on here now, the 5 points here, there's actually another 10 underlying principles as well. But any service bought through the DPS that we offer must apply these 5 principles. So the suppliers must be able to provide customers with these 5 things. And to use that dynamic purchasing system is quite easy. Customers simply run a mini competition inside that. And bear with me.
Next slide. Sorry, that's...
Oh, yeah.
You can do it.
All right, it's fine. So customers run a mini competition. The suppliers are pre-qualified from a procurement point of view, so it reduces procurement time. A number of suppliers will come back to meet your requirements and away you go. We're aware that customers may not want to run calls over Janet or have all of these 5 principles, so you can opt out of those if you want to. You could just buy ISDN circuits. You could just buy a PBX. You could buy any telephony equipment you want. There's no restricted scope like another procurements. But importantly, every supplier will be directly connected to Janet and it will have the ability to serve those calls over Janet to give you your cost savings. Now, on the NotSpot side of things, it's this slightly separate area because it's focusing very much more on the mobile market, the GSM mobile market. So what we're doing here is we've engaged with a couple of mobile providers, and those mobile providers have said to us that they would be interested in possibly using Janet when it's in its sixth iteration as backhaul for 4G. What mobile providers seem to be having a problem with at the moment isn't necessarily the edge equipment, so the cells and the masts. It's their backhaul networks. They're not sure if they're appropriately provisioned for the huge increase in potential data and voice traffic from 4G. So can Janet play a part there? Well, we're engaging now to understand that. But I think more importantly, we're also looking for NotSpot coverage to use Femto products that don't then go back to the provider's network, those Femto products. So Femto product is a mini mobile cell that you place on campus and you plug directly into your Janet connection. We would then peer with various mobile providers, and that would essentially give you coverage around your campus wherever you needed it. You just simply unplug one of these devices in, just like a wireless access point. And there's actually a trial going on with Warwick University and Vodafone at the moment in this exact area, and we're actively watching that. And we know that if the principle works and we don't have to run it over Vodafone's network from Warwick, and we can have Janet as the intermediary, it cuts costs by about 90%. Because leased lines don't need to be rented, and so it means that you've got a much more flexible and cheaper product for mobile coverage. So essentially, we've taken customer requirements, we've turned four or five of those requirements into a product that we really hope is going to be suitable for customers, which we'll be going live with in the early June. And on the mobile side of things, we're actively engaging with the mobile providers to understand how we can meet those NotSpot requirements and how we can come to an arrangement whereby it's cheaper and it's better, and we think we may be there. So I think with the mobile stuff, watch this space. For the telephony on Janet, using suppliers who can route telephony on Janet, the dynamic purchasing system will be open for use in very early June. Thank you, and I'll hand back to Tim Bandy.
Right, great. We're going to go on to some of the other projects we do. Arts and Humanities. This is really interesting. I love working on this one. You get to meet some. Normally, I have to hang around with a lot of techies. I'm sure you all appreciate that. But working on Arts and Humanities projects means we get work a lot with some performers, musicians, musical technologists as well. It's a really interesting side of the project. So. What we've been doing is trying to encourage the use of the Janet network and the bandwidth we've got available to use arts and humanities projects. And this usually involves either really high definition video, high definition or low latency audio, and various prototype technologies that are at the forefront of the development of that. We did an arts and humanities streaming event last year in September at the Royal College of Music, and demonstrated a few of these technologies in an attempt to generate some interest, notify people the types of technologies we were playing with, and build a SIG. And the first SIG meeting happened just a couple of weeks ago. So if you're interested in this, Emma Smith is leading on this project, and her email address is on the screen now. So let her know. I'll tell you a little bit more about the kind of things they do than you might know if you're interested. This is usually about remote performance or remote masterclasses. So in fact, on the next picture, you can see this is a violinist in the Royal College of Music being taught by a very high-level violinist in Cleveland, America, obviously. So he's able to use, in this case, one of the Polycom audio codecs that allows a wider audio spectrum through to really teach her about the sound and the tone of the violin. And it was an amazing thing to watch. So that's the Polycom one. Also, technologies worth mentioning. We have something called LOLA, which is low latency audio. That enables performers to perform simultaneously across sometimes up to a couple of thousand kilometers, which is quite a spooky thing to watch, because not only are they performing in time, they've also got the wideband audio, which makes it sound like there's two people in the room. So I'd really, if you get the chance to see a demo of that, I'd really recommend checking it out. That uses up a lot of bandwidth. That's half a gig, so you do need good connectivity for that. And then lower bandwidth, but also very good, more collaborative tools is something called Conference XP and DVTS, which we're also providing demonstrations of. So Arts and Humanities, we have a special interest group that's just started up, and contact Emma Smith if you're interested. On the other side of the technology line, I guess, is the more technical ultra-high definition projects. We are running ultra-high definition pilot at the moment with Cardiff, Essex and Glasgow. The technology we're doing is to stream compressed 4K video. I'm sure this isn't used to most of you, but standard HD is 2K, so 4K is 4 HD screens, so you've got 4 times the definition. This is 250 megabits per second in standard 4K, or if you want it in 3D, it's twice that. We're using something called Intopix codecs to do this, and it's taken a bit of effort to get these set up with the right projectors in the three venues. Janet's given some funding. I think the slide there actually could infer that the Janet funded all of them, but actually Essex owns some already, so I wouldn't want to misalign them there. The Intopix is used to send the very high definition stream from the essence of the idea of the project is that you can do all the streaming and the processing from one site and actually view it at a second site. So the pictures down here are the 3D scan, very detailed 3D scan of a brain, of a skull, which you can take away the layers of. This is in very high resolution, but the processing power needed to do this is in Cardiff, I think. Is that right, Roger? It is in Cardiff, yeah. But of course, you can now view it on a 4K stream at anywhere that's got the correct screen. So that's quite a good demonstration. We're doing live events for this, showcase events. Sorry, that's the slide after this one. The aspirations for this technology, where we plan to take it next, is to have much more interactivity. So this is the, you can imagine one example of this is live film editing. Most movies are produced in 4K now and then edited down to whatever format you want to actually watch them in. But to do the live editing process, you can have the director in one site and the actual processing power and the editors in another site, and you can do this by streaming 4K. We've also got an application for European funding to do a joint project between Cardiff, Bristol, PSNC, which is a supercomputing centre in Poland, RMP in Brazil. So this is growing internationally now. The showcase event, as I mentioned, we're planning to do two showcase events in the next couple of months, in fact. First one at the School of Healthcare Studies in Cardiff. The second one was probably going to be at the Glasgow Digital Design Studio. These are going to be open events, so if you're interested in this, again, contact Emma and she'll make sure you get on the invitation list. So, super high vision. I've only got one slide about this because we don't have any current set plans to take this any further, but it is an area we're interested in. Super high vision was one aspect of ultra high definition. So super high vision is a format that has 8K, so 4 4Ks, and also 22.2 channel surround sound audio, which makes a huge difference. It's an amazing experience. The super high vision was used on a project Janet assisted with, was the streaming of the Olympics. So the BBC streamed the Olympics using the NHK, which is a Japanese public service broadcaster. NHK technology streamed the Olympics around the world back to Japan and to a couple of sites in America as well, and 3 sites in the UK over Janet. So this was a big streaming event during the Olympics this year. It was a great success. We had thousands of people watching just in the UK being awed by super high vision. So very honoured to be involved in that project.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.